You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Twelve minutes after 8 on a Friday, Mike McNamara with you. We continue. Joining us from the northern plains of the nation, out of the frigid cold, comes a warm personality, little glow of light. The All Marine Radio head chef, Tim Horn. What is up?
How are we doing this? Having a great week, enjoying the balmy weather.
Are you happy?
Oh, I'm always happy, but today...
Well, why were you bitching me out 5 minutes ago for, I just found out 15 seconds ago what we're talking about today. Normally, I don't even tell you until you come on, and now I'm getting bitched out because I gave you a little bit of warning because I knew you were listening.
Because I love it when you give me shit. See, my whole week is made now. And what can I say but thank you?
So, see, in my mind, by the fact that I mentioned it and I knew he was listening, he could run to his little marinade book and he'd go, oh, let me brush up on that stuff. Or, better yet, his wife could tell him what to say. Okay? And so I know how it works.
I did. I read over to our books, and I couldn't find it, so she's not here to find it for me. So
you don't have shit. You know, so you don't have shit for us.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
So
exactly. So that's what I figure in my mind's eye. I'm like, okay, I'll give him this little heads up, so he'll be, you know, he'll have his little notes or his book in front of him, and he can talk and.
Yeah.
And what did I get for it? Oh, I get my 15 seconds heads up. Meet me, meet me, meet
me. Hey, baby, I love it when you talk dirty to me.
Man. And look, in our lives, the only show that we've ever scripted is pre-Thanksgiving, pretty much. That's the other than that.
That's
show,
the only reason to do that.
Right.
The rest of it, I love winging it because you are the man.
I am.
You're the king of wing.
King of wing. I did. You know what? I am. I love. One of the things, actually, even in the military, one of the things I loved about, you know, there's a number of things you can do, and like when you're involved in operations, like I was as an officer, you can be a planner. Oh my God! That's all the details of getting. Or you can be in current operations, which means you make decisions on the fly as the things get implemented. You're moving stuff. And guess which one I was better at?
Improv, baby.
Yeah, I'm straight up gifted. I'm straight up gifted. So
and that's what it is. It's a gift.
Yeah. Yeah, some people don't do well with it, but the turbulence doesn't bother me one bit, and I actually do pretty well in it. So, made it actually decent living, doing it. So, anyway, first of all, let's
winging it in our business is essential. If you run out of something, you gotta wing it. You gotta improv. Whatever it takes.
How do you
get something out?
How do you
do it?
Well, how do you improv in a kitchen when you don't have something?
Well, you reinvent it.
Like
you, okay, you run out of salmon. Well, I'm going to use some tuna or walleye.
And we're gonna tell them it's salmon?
No, but no, we're gonna tell them exactly what we're doing.
No, okay.
But we're out. But I got you covered. If you want this, we can do it. And that's how you do it.
Okay. All right. Let me. So let's go to the marinade question. When I was a kid, I don't know about you, but my mom made great shish kebab, and there was to me nothing better than shish kebab with a little bit of a kind of a little bit of a sizzle to it, and the marinated meat was absolutely delicious. And when I walk in the kitchen and Kathleen would be cubing up some kind of beef with a bunch of vegetables sitting there, I would be, yeah, this is going to be good eating. Talk to me about, so in terms of marinades, I mean, first of all, you can buy, you know, there's only about a million marinades out there when you go to the store, for God's sakes.
Yes, yeah.
But
a marinade is anything from red wine. That was my first marinade. I used to grill these chuck steaks because they were cheap. They were, you know, but if you just tried to throw them on the grill and eat them, no. But if you marinated them, you do that overnight, and then first thing in the morning before you go to work or whatever you're going to do, you're going to have it in the evening. And I would take a bottle of red wine, cheap red wine. I'd take some lemon. I'd squeeze some lemon juice or just cut some lemon circles, garlic, and lots of onions. I'm an onion guy. And salt and pepper, if there was any kind of like Lowry seasoning salt, I used to use that a lot.
Yeah.
But the key is the longer you marinate something, the better it will taste because the marinade penetrates whether it's chicken, you're doing a teriyaki chicken or, shish kebabs with, some kind of, oil and vinegar marinade with some spices that you rub on the meat first before you pour the marinade on. Any kind of juice, lemon, orange, lime, they break down the tissues of the meat and penetrate the meat and tenderize it.
Okay, so first of all, let's talk about duration. How long does something need to marinate to have it actually wear the designation marinated? Because you can throw something on, you know, you can throw a glaze on or something else, and it certainly is not marinated. How long does it take to a marinade to permeate the meat and give the meat actual flavor as opposed to simply a glaze being dumped on top of it?
You start when you get up, and then you do your marinade. You cover it and put it in the fridge.
Okay, how many hours? So how many hours? Well, did you say at a minimum?
They say it's in the fridge by 9, and you're going to be home at 5. You're going to cook at 6 or 7. So what is that, 5 hours?
No, 8 hours. 9 in the morning till, so,
yes.
So 09 till.
8 hours would be the minimum for me.
Okay.
6, the very, very minimal.
Okay.
But the thing is, the key to this, when you get home, and it's gonna be maybe an hour before you eat, at least, you pull it out, whether it's chicken, or beef, or pork, you sit it on the counter. We've preached this.
Right.
And you let it come to room temperature.
Right, we know that.
That way the marinade will get more into the whatever you're marinating. And then when it you put it on the grill, it'll sear right away.
Okay. All right. All right. That makes sense to me. Do you have favorite types of marinades? Maybe something that you guys concoct on your own that you use?
Well, I like to do kind of a teriyaki a lot of times.
Yeah.
And that's not keep them in teriyaki. I will take some, a little Worcestershire, some sesame oil. I love sesame oil. That's an Asian oil.
Right.
And then I'll do, a little rice wine vinegar. And then I'll do a little Chinese five spice. Some coriander, salt, always salt and pepper for me. You whisk that up in a separate bowl, and then you pour it over whatever you're going to marinate that with. And I like to do it a lot with boneless, skinless chicken breasts or any kind of chicken breast or steaks, or pork, like pork kebabs, I like to let it sit. I do it, the last thing before I go to bed. I put it in the fridge and then overnight. And then when I come home the next day, so it's almost a 24-hour marinade.
Right. To me, most of the time you don't do a marinated dish like, you're driving home from work and you're saying, let's do a marinated dish, right? I mean, it takes some planning because of the need to marinate.
Yes, it does.
Can we talk about shish kebab a little bit? Because now that I have it in my head.
You sure can.
What kind of meat do you recommend if you're doing shish kebab?
Any kind of, chicken, beef or pork, cubed up.
Any kind?
Chicken, what?
Any kind?
Any kind. Now, what I've done before is I will take a chicken breast. I will fillet a boneless, skinless chicken breast. I will fillet that in half.
Right.
And then I'll pound it out. And then you cut, 1.5 inch strips and about 6 inches long, and you take one of those wooden skewers.
Right. Okay, hold on. I'm not done with the meat yet. I don't like your response. Any meat.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll take beef. Okay?
Yeah, take
we'll
beef.
We'll take a chuck steak. The more tender the beef, the shorter, the faster it cooks, and if you can eat it rare. But if you're going to marinate, like a chuck or, something like that, it's a little tougher cut, you have to marinate that overnight. Absolutely.
Okay. How about if I wanted like something like a ribeye and make shish kebab out of that?
Well, that's what I would use, would be a ribeye, and you have them cut it, a ribeye. I like 1.5 to 2 inch cubes.
Okay.
And your butcher could do that, or I prefer to do it myself.
Right.
So you get a slab of beef, you bring it home, you trim most of the fat off, not all of it, because that tenderizes the meat when it cooks, and crisp fat is delicious. Now, what you do is you're coming home from work, you stop at the butcher shop. You buy your meat. You bring it home. You have dinner, whatever you're going to do. And then after dinner, you cube that up. You make up your favorite marinade. We'll say the teriyaki marinade I just mentioned. Or you could buy a Kingman that's already pre-done. or your favorite marinade, it doesn't matter, but then you salt and pepper cubes in a bowl, and you whatever seasoning you're going to use on the meat, and then you put it in a dish, or you can leave it in the stainless bowl or glass bowl. You pour the marinade over it, and some pieces will be above the liquid, some pieces won't. So you have to stir that a couple of times. You go to bed, and when you wake up in the morning, then you stir it again. Now, I'm going to give you a little tip here, folks. They have these 1 gallon Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask you another question? Why don't I just put in more marinade liquid and cover all the beef?
Well, you can, but that takes a lot.
Okay.
Now, it's a waste. Now, what I'm going to tell you to do, a little tip, and it'll save you some marinade, and you will cover all the meat.
Love that.
All you have to do is you put the marinade in this Ziploc, 1 gallon or 1 quart, depending on your size, the amount of meat you're marinating. And then you flatten it out, you put your meat in with the marinade, and you close it up, and then you lay it flat on a tray. And all the meat, you make sure it's all flat. They're not stacked up on top of each other.
Okay.
So all the bottom is getting the marinade. And that's used overnight. And when you get up in the morning, you flip that over so the liquid runs, was the bottom, down to the bottom, and the stuff was sitting up is now covered in marinade. So that way you cover all your product, whatever you're marinating.
So we're gonna throw the bowl away. And we're going to use some kind of Ziploc bag and get it all flat, and that way we cover all the meat.
Yes, with less marinade.
With less marinade.
But you have to, knowing people with Ziploc bags and stuff, you have to put it in a tray, on a tray, so if there is any leakage, it won't run all over your refrigerator.
Right, that stuff's pretty. That marinade normally is pretty sticky and pretty nasty if you got all the right stuff in it. Okay.
You just don't want to be taking everything out of your fridge and scrubbing everything down. So do yourself a favor, put it on one of those little 1-inch raised side baking sheets that you do cookies on.
Right.
And then you're covered.
Then you're
safe. You're not worried.
Right.
And it'll take less marinade, it'll cover all the meat, and then you flip it when you get up in the morning, and it'll marinate the other part, and you're in the front row.
You're good to go.
Now if you want to do that with a whole ribeye, and marinate the whole ribeye without cubing it up, absolutely. Whole chicken breast, same thing. Pork chops, the same thing. But if you want to cube them, that's my go-to tip today are those Ziploc plastic bags. They're 1 quart or even my wife buys them as big as 1 gallon.
Wow.
And that holds a lot of meat.
A lot of stuff.
All
right. Do you have I got an email about TV stuff. Let's finish up. The email, I don't want to answer it yet, but Mac, there was a very famous guy, chef type, that passed away this week. His name is Paul. I can't remember his last name.
Paul Bocuse.
And
good question. I have some stories about that when you're ready for it.
Okay. I'm curious if the chef has any thoughts about him. He was evidently a pretty revolutionary guy in the business of food. And then I'd also be curious to know who he watches. There is a plethora of television shows devoted to cooking these days. Is there anybody that he would tell us that he watches, since we've all become familiar with him over the last couple of years? Okay, we'll do that when we come back from a break. But before we go to the break, in shish kebab, everybody's got different things they like. I know my mom, she would put zucchini on there. She would put pineapple on there. She would put tomatoes on there. She would put green peppers on there. Do you have any favorite things that you, mushrooms, Kathleen would put on there? Do you have any favorite things that you, you put on shish kebab?
Yes. I will take an apple.
Oh.
I will core it. I will cut it into quarters or sixths, depending on the size of the apple.
Right.
You want big chunks for each end. And then I would roll them in like a, either sugar and cinnamon or brown sugar and cinnamon.
Wow.
And then you stick them on the end and they caramelize. They're kick ass. Mushrooms, of course. You know me, I'll take a wedge of onion and stick it on there. I love, grilled onion, but peppers. Red, green, yellow peppers, that gives it a lot of color. And if you want, you get, cut little rectangulars out of your red, green, and yellow peppers, and you stick them together, which really brightens it up. You know, say we have a skewer. I will put an apple section on that's been rolled in this sugar cinnamon mix. I put it all the way. Then I would put a cube of meat, and then I would put onions, and then I would put meat, and then I would put the peppers together, and then I would put meat, and you do that, and you repeat the process, but only on the ends. The last thing I put on would be another apple section. So you have apple, meat, onion, meat, peppers, meat, onion, meat, peppers, meat, and the apple. And that's absolutely stunning. And if you want to, instead of onion, you want to substitute a good mushroom, a large mushroom. Don't do little mushrooms because they'll shrivel up into nothing. And you, with the mushroom, if you want to rub a little olive oil on them, or salt and pepper them, and then put a little bit of olive oil on them, that's also cool. And you have the stem. And you stick that stem on the skewer and run it up against the meat. So there you have it. And you can use any of those combinations. Like you said, pineapple is an exceptional fruit.
Put it on there. My mom used to, she didn't start out with pineapple, but as she evolved her cooking, pineapple. You know, the other thing that I learned to enjoy was a hot pineapple. You know, when you first hear it, you're like, what? But it's delicious with shish kebab marinated, especially that teriyaki marinade. And then,
The other thing that's the ideal fruit is pineapple with teriyaki.
The other thing was hot cherry tomatoes. I always enjoyed too.
Cherry tomatoes, or you can, the Roma tomato,
right,
which is like pear shape,
right,
and they're not real big. They're bigger than a cherry tomato. My wife just brought home some like cherry tomatoes on steroids that are yellow,
I've seen them.
Red, orange, and they're just great. But I I just started seeing those in the last few years. I'm sure you've had them in California for years, but they were new to me here on the High Plains. They're good on a shish kebab for sure.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. And when we come back, Paul Beaucoup is his name, passed away, Kim? 91 years old?
Yeah, Paul Beaucoup, and I got great stories. I've met him. Anyway, we'll talk about favorite TV chefs.
Yeah, because there is a ton of it. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Everywhere you turn on television now, somebody's cooking or there's some kind of competition. It's always interesting to watch them make what they make. There's the cake boss and all of that. So we'll take a quick break. More of the All Marine Radio head chef speaking off the cuff.
Yeah, I love it, baby. All right. Bring it on.
more of this program coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Strangers in the night. Frank Sinatra, the chairman of the board, singing about a one-night stand.
What were the chances we'd be sharing?
But back in a different day and age, it was so much more romantic. Frank Sinatra falling in love every night with somebody else. The singing up there in his tux, right, with his bow tie undone and a little glass of scotch in his hand and a cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
he was the man, baby. He was the man.
He had game. He had 100% game.
He had game. Let's talk about the... TV shows. First of all, what TV shows do you watch? And then we'll talk about Paul Bocou. Just a ton of them on television right now. Who are your favorites?
Well, my A number one favorite is Anthony Bourdain.
Is he the guy who goes around the world and like he hangs out with people and eats with them?
And eats all over the world, but he worked in a French bistro. He wrote a book called Kitchen Confidential.
Oh.
He came up in the kitchen about the same time I did. He's about 10 years younger than me. But he went to Culinary Institute of America, but he worked in New York. It was an interesting life for him, but he's really good to watch. Fascinating. I like to watch, I used to like to watch Mario Battaglia. He was on a show called The Chew, but then he got thrown off of that for harassment of his employees and stuff, and that, you know, it's just not kosher.
Right.
And, I first started watching, my first chef shows that, was really interested in me was Iron Chef, Japan. That was the first Iron Chef. But to watch the Iron Chef America, those shows and all those chefs on there, they're on the Food Network.
Right.
They are all world class. And another show I watch, believe it or not, is Gordon Ramsay, and it's called Master Chef. But they have a tendency, those chefs, they're trying to get a job in one of his restaurants for $250,000 a year as an executive chef. And that's real cutthroat. But the one I like, he does one with young children between the ages of 11 and 14. And they blow me away. And they all get along. They root for each other. But, you know, they still want to win the competition. But their knowledge, and it all stems from watching kitchen shows and wanting to be chef. So that's a fun show for me to watch. I always watch that when it's on. It's on a couple of times a year. And even his MasterChef program is pretty interesting. But the hostility among the contestants is kind of obscene. But I really liked Mario Battaglia when he had a little show. And also the guy from New Orleans, the band guy. You know what I mean. He's from Fall Rivers, Massachusetts. Can't remember. I'll think of it in a minute. Having a Vulcan mind for it. Yeah. Who's one of the original chef shows was Paul Prudhomme from New Orleans, K. Paul.
Right.
He since passed away. He was real good.
Okay, so if I told you give me three shows to watch, what would they be?
I would give you MasterChef Junior, Anthony Bourdain.
Okay.
His show is on CNN, usually Sunday evening. Andrew Zimmer travels all over the world. You pick up incredible tips on cooking food. How to, you know, they'll catch anything from rattlesnakes to wild boar, and shoot it and skin it and cook it. I saw him in New Mexico once on a Navajo reservation. Go out, they shot a buffalo, then they took it back, they skinned it, cut it up, and ate every part of it. Those kind of shows are the ones that fascinate me. There's a show on at from noon to one every day, wherever you are, called The Chew. It's on ABC, and that was a cooking show that that Mario Battaglia was on, but Michael Simon is the main chef on there, and he's an Iron Chef also.
Okay, hold on. So the top three would be what?
Would be
Anthony
MasterChef Junior.
MasterChef Junior, Anthony Bourdain, and who's the third one?
I would say I like
You can only have three, man. So you named about two dozen of them. Which one?
And I would say Andrew Zimmer.
Not the Chew?
The Chew is actually a very good show. I would say the Chew would be my number three.
Are you sure, sweetheart? Because you sound like you're having a problem making a decision.
No, I'm thinking about your guests watching The Chew because they do recipes.
Right.
And Rachel Ray is just before The Chew, so you can get an hour of two shows. I recommend that because she does a lot of recipes. She's an Italian gal from New York City.
Right.
And she's very good, very talented, and she has celebrities. Both of those shows have celebrities, and they do recipes with them.
Okay, so if I gave you four, you would give me The Chew and Rachel Ray, Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. Well, I would combine that as one.
Okay, and then what was the other one, Anthony Bourdain, and what was number one?
MasterChef Junior.
MasterChef Junior. Okay. All right, tell me about...
Just because of their knowledge. It's just, they're great. They're good recipes. It's fun.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Tell me about Paul Bocuse.
Paul Bocuse is known as the father of Nouvelle Cuisine. He's from Lyon, France.
Lyon.
He has a restaurant on the Rhone River. He has a 3-star Michelin. That's the Michelin guide for rating restaurants all over the world. And, he's had one since the 60s. I've eaten in his restaurant 3 times. The last time I was there, show up. There were 7 of us, 4 guys and 3 women. We pile out of my microbus in his parking lot, and you walk up the stairway. It's in a house that had been in his family for 60 years, and you walk right by the kitchen, and you say, "Oh, I'll eat on that floor." And there's not a dust spot anywhere in that kitchen. And then you go up to the reservation desk. You have a reservation, yes, under Holmes. And all of a sudden, the last time we were there, he appears. And this was in 1975. And he's about 6'3". And the head chef, or the chef owner, wears the largest toque. Now, toque is the hat, the chef's hat. In French, they call it a toque. And T-O-U-Q-U-E. And he greets us. He sits us down. And he was basically our waiter that night.
Whoa.
And he recommended things. One of the things we ate was a chicken poached in a pig's bladder.
Yikes.
It was the best chicken I've ever eaten in my life.
Oh,
but
really?
He brings it to the table, this big pig bladder, looks like there's a chicken in a balloon, and they cut it open, the steam wafts across the table, and the waiters carve it up, and they cover it with a truffle sauce, we had a whole fish that was baked in a puff pastry shell, a whole salmon. There were 7 of us, so, you know, it was consumed, and we were there. We had 5 courses, because we had an appetizer, we had a fish course, we had the entree, and then they come around with a cart that's about 5 feet by 3 feet with 2 shelves on it, the top one and the middle one. And the first one was loaded with desserts. And then we have dessert course. Then came out the cheese course, with 100 cheeses on this long table with wheels on it. And you know,
dining like that is so much different than how I think we conceive of dining in the United States, or in American dining, because American dining, right, if you have an hors d'oeuvre, you know, there's a lot of it, right? And then when you have the entree, there's a lot of it. And then when you have dessert, it's not normally a skimpy little thing. When you do French cuisine, it's so much different. I remember going up the first time I ever went to Montreal, and I went into a French restaurant, and we were there for 3.5, almost 4 hours. And it was an evening dining experience, and we ate, you know, I don't know how many, six different courses, none of them very large. And so, you know how when we see the picture of an entree, but it's extremely small entree on a plate, and you look at that and you're like, who is that going to feed? That doesn't make sense in the context of American dining. But in the context of French dining, where you eat six, you know, fairly small, you know, courses with your palate being cleansed between courses and all of that, it does make sense, yes?
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, is you have usually a cocktail before. With the fish dish, you have white wine. With the entree, you have red wine.
Right.
And then you have some kind of fortified wine called a port with your cheese. You can start with champagne instead of a cocktail. A lot of people do. But, yes, and it was about a four-and-a-half, five-hour experience. And he came down after... So he came by, sat down with us after the dinner, and offered all of us cigars and bought cognac for us. And, of course, they were big stogies. The women lit up. Everybody was smoking a cigar. And then he gave us a tour through his kitchen. And then he says, I'm going to the market, and this was, oh, God, it was after midnight by this time. I'm going to market this morning at 5 a.m. if you want to meet me to buy tomorrow's or today's fresh produce. And a couple of us said, absolutely. I was one of them. And so we ended up meeting him in the market at 5 a.m., and you walk behind him, and you're just observing. Oh, and everybody, you know, oh, Monsieur Boucouz, Chef Paul, Chef Paul. And he's saying, yes, he'd look at stuff and ask, what do you got today that just came in? And they'd show him, and he'd either put it aside and say, yes, give me two cases or a case of this and that. I mean, I was in chef heaven. And I've never experienced anything like that since. And to be with that great man in 75, and, you know, and he just died last week at 91, I think it was. And he was strong to the end. Very, very... influential man in today's cuisine. There is a restaurant in California called the French Laundry that's run by a chef named Thomas Keller. It's in St. Helena in Napa Valley.
Napa Valley.
And his restaurant, costs about, oh, with wine, about $500-$600 a person. Maybe you can get away having lunch for $300. But it's a tasting menu of, it could be anywhere from 12 to 20 courses. And they are two bites. And they just keep coming in. And, I've never eaten there because I can't afford it.
Oh, listen to that. Sandbagging me.
Oh. Listen, believe me, it's just, it's expensive.
Right.
But if that's your thing, absolutely rock it. It takes about 3-4 months to get a reservation ahead of time.
Wow.
And you have to put down a deposit, a
Ooh.
Credit card.
Ooh.
And, yeah, it's a big deal. But that's just, It's not necessary. There are plenty of great restaurants, and all the chefs today, people that are trained with Paul Bocuse, are all over the world. and have little bistros that will, you know, do maybe an appetizer, a salad, an entree, and a dessert or a cheese, you know, and it costs you $20, $30 per person. Maybe a little bistro, you just go in for a little, salad, glass of wine, and an entree might cost you $10 still. And so, you know, the price range varies tremendously. But the experiences that I've had, in eating, I feel very fortunate that I lived in the time I did back then and had these experiences, because he was still a stud muffin, still played soccer, had a soccer team with his restaurant staff, and he was a player coach. I mean, he's a piece of work. And one other thing, we're walking from our dinner table down this hallway where the waiters did, and there's a wall with Paul Bocuse, you know, standing tall with his arm around Sophia Loren.
Nice.
Brigitte Bardot. Gina Lola Brigida.
Oh.
And, you know, they all have these gorgeous sundresses on, and he's staring right at their boobs. Yeah, he was French, man. It was all in dog.
Wow.
But, oh, my God, he just, I'm left. I didn't say anything to him, but all the girls are looking at these pictures, and Bob and I are looking and going, God, that lucky guy? Oh, mercy. But, yeah, he was a real guy, and very, very fascinating man, and I have his first cookbook still, I feel very lucky to have experienced it. But, yes, if you ever get to, there are restaurants all over this country that have his students. New York, Daniel Boulon has a restaurant called Daniel's. Eric Rupar, a friend of Anthony Bourdain's, has a restaurant called La Bernadine in the Time Warner building in New York City. There are other ones in Chicago all over. And I can't name them because
you don't need to. What do you got? Anything exciting going on this weekend?
I think we're going to go see a movie today. Den of Thieves. I really love The Post. I want to see I just saw it, 12 Strong.
Yeah.
About the first soldiers in Afghanistan after 9/11.
Yeah, the Special Forces guys. I'll tell you what, they loved that. They knew that picture was going to make it someplace of them on horseback. And quintessentially, you know, Special Forces do the majority, a lot of their work is with foreign militaries to strengthen them, to train them, and do all that stuff. So in that context, they were not only training but advising Afghans and hopped on horseback with them. So interesting stuff. All right, sir, first of all, thank you very much for the little history lesson on Paul Bocuse. And have a great weekend.
You too. How about you? What are you guys doing?
I don't think I'm doing a whole lot. I'm catching up on a little bit of work. And let's see, Patrick's been gone for a week, so I think he comes home at some point today. So it'll be nice to see him. And he'll probably be hungry, so we'll probably either go out or grill a big fat steak. That's normally the appropriate course of action. So nothing too major, but anyway. All right, sir.
Do you have a favorite butcher shop you go to?
No, I just go to the supermarket.
Okay.
I know. I'm not. That's the wrong answer, but nonetheless, it's the truth. And you, know what I'm finding? You want to know that the number one secret to making a great steak is?
What?
Buy a good cut of beef.
Amen, brother.
If you don't screw it up, right, if there's such a difference between cock of beef and good beef, it's ridiculous. And Colleen asked me once, we bought good steak, and she goes, Dad, this is delicious. What'd you do different? I said, nothing. It's the beef.
It is the beef.
And so now she, every time she we see this, this certain cut of beef, she's like, Dad! I'm like, shut up, Colleen. So anyway. All right, my man. You have a good weekend.
You too.
All right.
Take care. All Thank right. you, everyone.
There you have it. The one and only Almarine Radio head chef right here on a Friday edition of Almarine Radio. The Gunner next.